Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading us. You got us off of Radio MD or iHeart or one of the other channels, but thanks wherever you got us from. Do tell your friends about us. This is the B segment. We have a guest interview, and this one promises to be outstanding. We'll let you be the judge. Michelle Hart, a licensed social worker, is co-author of the book Mental Health Emergencies, really a guideline. I'm going to let her tell you what it is. It's really a guidebook, if you will, for anyone who is on the front lines, police, firefighters, teachers, human resource, mental professionals, anyone who's called upon to provide much-needed care to people who are in the midst of a mental health problem or crisis. Michelle, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
And the last name is spelled H-A-R-T. So when you look at the book on Amazon, it's H-A-R-T, Mental Health Emergencies. Michelle, what drove you to write the book?
The book was written after much experience in the field by myself and my co-author. He is not a mental health professional, but he was called upon, and this is where the first responders part of this comes in. He was consistently called upon to help in situations where there wasn't a mental health person available. In most situations, you're not going to have your clinicians standing by to be a first responder. After discussing situations that he had been in, which is one of his opening stories in the book, decided that we need to make an informational guide for everybody, not even really first responders, but for anybody, because this could be your neighbor, your coworker, your partner, your family member, where it's not an us or them situation with a mental health emergency. And mental health emergencies are the end result of a buildup of something. So you could intervene at any time. And we want people just to understand the basics of what people might go through and how they can intervene before it becomes an emergency. And you don't have to be a professional. You can be anybody. And that was our biggest how-to in this book, is you don't need to always have the right answers. You just need to be there for people. So with him having to do this on numerous occasions, we decided to collaborate and write a book just so that people could help one another in any situation.
Now, I understand it would be to help anyone in any situation. Tell us how the book is organized. Say I don't have the book, and tell me how would the book be organized?
So the book is organized by just introducing the book is organized into mental health, some of your everyday anxiety, post-traumatic stress. It kind of explains what it is in a layperson's terms without having to delve into the big medical books. Then it explains, as a person in the life of somebody, how do you handle yourself? Because more importantly than what we're dealing with our own reaction to a situation. So it also has chapters on how do you get through this and help yourself, because we do have vicarious trauma. By listening to other people's situations, it can impact us personally. So it defines some of the common things that happen to a person. It defines, as a person, how do you take care of yourself through this? And in the end, ultimately, where you need to go and what you need to do to help this person move into more professional help. But it's an in-the-moment type guide. So what might you be looking at? How can you help them? How can you help yourself? And then the next step is, how do you get them to the professionals?
And now, when you say mental health emergencies, most of us, or at least some of us, think of either someone who's going to commit suicide and is standing on the ledge, or someone who is going to shoot other people, or someone who is in a terrible rage for no reason at all. What's the range of what you would call mental health emergencies?
The range of mental health emergencies is anything where your body and your mind is out of touch with each other. So you might have somebody who is experiencing extreme anxiety and they cannot go outside, or somebody, we've had many incidences in our country where we've had people being subjected to third-party situations, where the Las Vegas happenings, where you had people that were in the vicinity and heard about it and they're trying to help. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a first-person crisis. Certainly what you explained is the ultimate in a mental health emergency. But a mental health emergency is somebody who's just not functioning because they're just out of touch with themselves. It could range from depression, anxiety, it could be post-traumatic stress, and not necessarily does it lead to a major event. Generally with post-traumatic stress, it's a series of smaller events. We hear of the huge events, but it's not necessarily an everyday thing that people get post-traumatic stress from a large major event. It's several things that happen, and generally it's something small that triggers the final event. So it could be anything where you just see somebody not functioning in the way that they have been in the past, and they can't seem to get beyond that point where they can't move forward in their life.
Now, this brings up two points. One is, did you have to deal in your work as a licensed social worker, did you have to deal with mental health emergencies, or do you, and do you still? And the second is, is how do you take care of yourself if you're dealing with mental health emergencies? It seems to me you've got to be pretty stable as your own caregiver to be able to handle the emergencies. Talk to me about those two areas.
Well, I have throughout my career dealt with mental health emergencies as far as suicide. I have been a crisis worker throughout my 20-year career. Currently, I am a current employed licensed clinical social worker. So yes, I deal with people who want to commit suicide. I deal with people who have kind of given up. I've been private practice and I've been public mental health. And I've also worked in a school system, which currently I'm working with an adolescent base in a school setting. So yes, we have students weekly that come in at this age where they feel like they have nothing left and they do want to commit suicide. So it is a part of my not daily life at work, but I deal with it on at least weekly, monthly basis. And so it's something that I have dealt with. And as far as self-care, we have to start with the basics and we have to make sure that we're living a balanced life. You know, if you are, no matter who you are, professional or not, we need to live balanced. We need to eat healthy and work and play and make sure we have people in our lives that bring us happiness and make sure we have things in our life that bring us pleasure, gardening, swimming, yard work, anything that brings that contented feeling to where you forget about the everyday world and you can just get lost, whether it's art, anything like that can help bring balance and keep a person in a well-rounded space that they can help others and at the end of the day walk away and still have their own life. It's essential.
So that's the role of the caregiver. Now, when you see someone who is out of touch, their body and mind are out of touch with each other, should most of us who are what I would call amateurs, myself included, do we try and get the person to an emergency room? Do we try and get them to last to the next day and see a licensed social worker? Do we call someone on the phone? What's the first thing you do?
Well, if they're threatening, if they're openly suicidal, then you dial 911. Absolutely, 100%. You don't try to assess whether the person's telling you the truth or not, because then you're at the highest level and you need to get help from a professional and get them the the 911 will respond in a way to where they take them either to a psychiatric hospital or a hospital, depending on your location and depending on what resources are available to you. But absolutely, you never second guess if somebody is even hinting at suicide. You don't. That's not something you ever look twice on. You deal with that. Now, if somebody's having depression, sometimes all they need is somebody to listen. Again, there's varying levels, and the book explains that in detail. What level do you need to move on with this? And at what level can you just hold it and be a compassionate person in somebody's life?
How do you tell the difference between someone who's having a psychiatric break because that's their problem and someone who's having it related to, for example, taking a drug of abuse or some other psychoactive drug? Or does it not matter? Are you still trying to get them to a professional? And what should the professional do?
So a psychiatric break could be caused with a lot of, there's so many things that can cause a psychiatric break. So if you are suspecting that, I recommend immediate care from a physician, emergency room. For the mere fact of, it could be a life-threatening. There could be brain problems. There could be, we go to drugs and mental illness, but there could be something physiological happening to them as well. So definitely if you're seeing, if they're hearing voices or command hallucinations, you'll want to have them checked out immediately just to ensure it's not something life-threatening. As a professional, once you rule out the drugs, then, once you rule out that they're not suffering from something physiological or effects of a drug, then it's a matter of giving time to it. So this is where all the training comes in. But as a layperson, if you're a first responder, the main thing you can do is listen, not argue. Just let them hear. You don't have to agree with what a person's saying, but you don't have to argue with them. If you're in a moment where you're in a situation where you have to just be in that moment with that person and there's no other help available, listening, taking a breath, slow down your speaking, just be present with the person, be mindful in the moment, really when you're with anybody, and hear what they have to say. And this is very real to the people that are experiencing this. So let them have that and don't try to snap them out of it or, go with what we have done, always stigmatizing them, is that this person's going to become violent. It's the rarity is violence when somebody's really dealing with an issue. Violence is not it's the exception, not the rule. And of course, if a situation becomes violent, you need to get out of there. But generally, people just want someone to listen to them and hear them when they have a need.
We're talking with Michelle Hart, H-A-R-T. The book that she has written or co-written is Mental Health Emergencies. And how did you and Michelle, how did you and your co-author team up? What's the story there?
So Nick Bennis and myself were co-workers, and he was the business management of an agency, and I was the clinical director. And in a rural community, you don't always have a lot of resources available. So through him getting calls and us being extremely busy with not a lot of resources, he was called out to situations where the police needed somebody to respond, and he went out and responded. And I would say the most prime example is his opening story in the book of where he had to do just that. And through that, through working together for a couple of years, we decided that, people don't always have readily access to a therapist. And sometimes it has to be your coworker, it has to be your family member, it has to be whoever. It could be your neighbor. And sometimes we're called upon to do things that move us out of our comfort zone. So we wanted just to make sure that if anybody was put in that situation, they have the tool that they need to get through that until, ultimately you want to seek professional help. But all of us, no matter who you are, can be a first responder in a mental health situation. You don't have to be trained. You don't have to be professional, and you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be willing. And if everybody's willing, then we can destigmatize this whole thing as well. We want to destigmatize mental health, and it's not them and us. It's everybody. It's our family. It's everybody that we come in contact with.
We're talking with Michelle Hart, co-author of the book Mental Health Emergencies. Michelle, there seems to me to be more and more, if you will, mental health emergencies in the elderly, as both Parkinson's and other forms of dementia, or other, if you will, Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia occur. Is there a different way of dealing with the elderly with these problems than with younger people who have suicidal ideation or who have severe depression?
Well, you know, that's a tough comparison, because people that have depression, suicidal ideation, are on opposite ends of the spectrum as well. Depression doesn't always lead to suicidal ideation, and Alzheimer's isn't always there. So we're dealing with three different components of a mental illness. You know, when you're managing with the elderly, you have to take into consideration who you have in front of you. You could have a 40-year-old with Alzheimer's. So age, you know, age is a factor, but you kind of have to, is this person hard of hearing? Do you need to speak slower? What are other physical health they may tell you that they have, physical needs that may not be met? Certainly, again, I always go back to, if they're suicidal, you go to the ER. But if you're dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's, you want to make sure that a care plan is always in place. So if you have somebody in your life or know of somebody in your life, a care plan with depression or anything that's chronic and ongoing, if they could say how they are when they're not experiencing these things, and then put things into place of what they want to have happen if they do experience a bout of extreme depression or suicidal ideation, it's almost like a will, only it's a living care plan that says, you know, when I do this and I'm not making the best decisions for myself, I would like you to do A, B, and C. So it's recommended that we do a care plan with everybody, just so that if we have these moments, we know where our baseline is, or the person that's helping us know where our baseline is, so that we're always fulfilling. We don't want to do our will on somebody else. We always want to leave people with their own free will. So we're not trying to take somebody and mold them into what we think they should be. We're allowing them to have their free will, but keeping them safe at the same time.
We're talking with Michelle Hart, author of, or co-author of, Mental Health Emergencies. You've heard some really, what I would call, very wise, I shouldn't say wise wisdom, but it is wise wisdom, talks about listening to people, getting them to help if listening isn't enough, and what to do in a mental health emergency. This is a guidebook for virtually everyone, but especially for the first responders, such as police, fire, and others who are called on to deal with patients, with people who are having mental health emergencies. Michelle, thank you very much. This has been, if you will, You, the Owner's Manual Podcast 910B, the guest segment. Thanks very much for listening. Keep downloading us. We'll have another spectacular guest like Michelle next week. And thanks, Ben, for great engineering. Michelle, thank you. The book again, Mental Health Emergencies.